Good morning.
Good morning. It's
good to see everyone here today. And I trust that that the Lord's going to bless today in some way. I have something special that I'm going to share in just a moment. But before I do, I've got a couple of things that we're going to let you know about. It was mentioned that we're going to be starting our class in January on the Book of Revelation, and so we call it God's Action Thriller, because if you really get into the Book of Revelation, you realize that this is an action thriller, and it's really a panoramic view of everything that is recorded from Genesis all the way through. It all condenses down into this one book, and it's like, this is the reason why all of this happened in Genesis and Exodus and all the way through. It's all coming to this. And so it's an exciting book. It's an exciting read. But most people avoid it. And it's really a shame, because in the very opening chapter 1, verse 3, he promises a blessing for those that hear the words of this prophecy, that read the words of this prophecy, and hold fast to the words of this prophecy. And so it's actually a vitally important book. It's no wonder the enemy fights it so much. So anyway, we're excited about it, and we hope that you will be excited about it as well, especially after the first couple of sessions. We hope you'll stay excited about it and not go, oh, Lord. No, one of the things we try to do is we do a multimedia presentation, and so that you're not just hearing me speak, you're seeing some of the things that we're talking about. We actually go to some archaeological digs, especially in the chapters 2 and 3. And so it's really cool to see the actual towns that, you know, for the seven churches and all this sort of thing, and hear some of the history, because much of what Jesus says in those two chapters ties into the history of those towns. And so it's really interesting to see that. But anyway, enough of that. We also have our new book that is out, and we're excited about our new book. This is, I know it's a booklet, but it's our book. Okay, so, you know, this is huge. But you know, God blessed us a while back in putting together this teaching, because we just realized that so many people are so confused about the coming of the Lord and, you know, the second coming and the rapture of the church, or the catching away of the church. There's just a lot of confusion in the world today concerning these things. And, you know, I taught on this here. This book actually goes a little bit deeper than what I actually shared, because, you know, we were limited on time and things. So this is, you can get a little bit more into it, and it'll help clear some of this up. So you may not be confused about it, but maybe you're struggling with explaining it to your loved ones or friends or what have you, and so you may want to get a copy for them. Now, for you guys, we have a special deal. For $5,000, you can get one of these, okay? So I'll usually throw out a big outlandish number so you know I'm joking, okay? Someone will go, really? $5,000? We actually like to do things on a love offering basis, because we know there's folks that are out there that can't afford to a dollar, you know, and we want them to get it. And the suggested donation is $15 to help cover the cost, okay, of all the printing and that sort of thing. If you would like to, if you have the ability to donate more than that to help defray the cost for other people, so that we can give them away, because we will be giving them away to someone that can't afford it, that's what we're going to do. And so if you want to help this venture of faith, then you can do that. And you got something?
Well, yeah, you wanted to add in the fact that we added a component to it for those that don't believe?
Yes, we did. We were editing this thing over and over and over again. And in the process, and we were just getting so frustrated, but the Lord showed us that He was behind it, you know, because He wanted to sow some other things into it. And that is, God just had us kind of interweave in there the gospel, so that it's not just about the second coming. It's not just about being caught up of the church, but it's also about why we believe and how to accept Christ into your life. And so You read it. And one thing I really would love for you guys to do is, if you get a copy of this, is to let us know what you think. And if you have some critique for us, you know, we'd be happy to hear what you have to say. Okay. And and sometimes, you know, if you write it down and that sort of thing, and if we don't agree with it, it just goes into the file 13, you know, the circular file. No, I'm joking. But anyway, we really would. We'd love to. You guys, I know, have knowledge in Scripture and everything, so you can always sow something into us by just telling us some things, okay? So we appreciate that. But anyway, just wanted to let you know, it's there. And we have a few copies with us today. So is that it? Are we done with commercials? Okay. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity to be together and to be in fellowship with one another, to be in fellowship with you, Almighty God. What a privilege to be able to come into your holy, 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 holy presence. And that wasn't enough holies, but you are so holy and so amazing that we are in awe of your holiness. We are in awe of how that you are higher above everything that exists. And Lord, what a privilege it is to be together with like believers, with those who have had a supernatural confrontation with your holy presence, an interruption in our ways and doings, where you interrupted the path that we were on and you said hello and invited us to know the truth, that the truth would make us free. Thank you for setting us free, Lord. Thank you for opening our hearts and our eyes to the truth. Thank you, Lord, for imparting to us the salvation that only you can give. Thank you, Lord, for imparting to us the love, not only for you, but for each other, and not only for each other, but for all those that are yet to receive you. Thank you, Father, for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So today what I'm actually going to do is just share my testimony for a brief moment, and then I've got a couple of videos for you to see. And the reason why I thought to do this is because, you know, a lot of times, and some of you may have had the privilege of growing up in a Christian home, and then some of you may not have. And I was one of those that did not grow up in a Christian home. They knew something about Christ, they knew something about the Bible, but they didn't know saving faith. They didn't know how to be saved. My dad was actually Catholic. And my mother, I think maybe her family had some Catholic background to it as well. And so that's pretty much all that they knew. And back then it was all, when you went to a Catholic church, it was all in Latin. And so you didn't have a clue what was being said. And if you didn't have what they called a catechism, you didn't, have any clue as to what the Bible might be saying. And so that's the way things were back then. I think things have changed a little bit now, where things are said in English and that sort of thing. But you know, of course, you know, there were the statues everywhere, and so you worship those idols and that sort of thing. So that was fun. So I pretty much, you know, would say that I came from a pagan background, because much of what they did believe was pagan. In fact, my mother's Bible was actually consisted of the National Enquirer. Does anybody remember the National Enquirer? Inquiring minds want to know. And so you find that in the tabloid section in the grocery store in the checkout lines, you know. And so her and her mother would get together faithfully, religiously, every Friday night. They would get their National Enquirers together from previous months and years, and they would go through them and they would read about the coming things, or the things that have been seen, and, you know, aliens and Bigfoot and all this great, wonderful stuff that was so worthless. But anyway, but they were sure that these things were true and these things were real. And then they got involved in Ouija boards and all kinds of witchcraft and all this sort of thing. And so this was the house that I grew up in. But interestingly enough, there was still enough Bible around, enough talked, I mean, the mention of Jesus Christ was mostly mentioned whenever someone would stub their toe. And so it wasn't in the right way, okay? But there was also, there was a movie back in the day. Now, those of you that, I know most of you are much younger than I, but back in the day, there was this movie called King of Kings, and Jeffrey Hunter played Jesus, okay? And so it wasn't a great movie, but it was enough to where that it made me ask questions. You know, well, what was this about? You know, and why did they kill him and this sort of thing? And so I heard about that. And then there was, and this is kind of where I'm leading up to. Then there was this cartoon that came out in 1965. And I was about 10 years old. So now I just dated myself. And, a man by the name of Charles Schulz was commissioned by, I think it was CBS back then. He was commissioned by CBS to write and produce a cartoon for Christmas. And he refused. And he said he didn't want to do it. And so they pressured him and pressured him because they were kind of competing with some of the all the other major networks that they had back then, two more. Because it was just NBC, CBS, and ABC, and that's all there was. And so anyway, they really pressured him. He finally agreed and he said, "All right, I'll do it, but under one condition. You got to let me do it the way I want to do it." And they said, "Okay." So what does he do? He puts the gospel into this cartoon. And anyway, the whole cartoon is about the materialistic Christmas that most people get up involved with, and they just get all focused on all these things. And it's so bad that even Charlie Brown's dog, Snoopy, wins first prize for decorating his doghouse with all these lights and everything. And so if you've ever seen it, you know all of this part. Well, finally, you know, they asked Charlie Brown to direct a Christmas play, and he was trying to get everybody together to do this Christmas play, and the kids, all they wanted to do was dance around and have fun and just talk about the parties and all this sort of thing. And finally, Charlie Brown just got so disgusted, and he says, "What is the meaning? Can anybody tell me what is the meaning of Christmas?" And it goes something like this. I'll let you see it for yourself. He can do a better job.
Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
So, I saw that cartoon and it convicted me. And I didn't know what to do with that conviction, but so that night I lay down in bed and I was just kind of staring up at the ceiling and I just started talking to God. And I apologized to him. And I just said, "God, I just want you to forgive me for making Christmas all about me and not about you." And that's all I knew to say. But I just felt so convicted from that time on. I mean, you know, God is always sowing seed in people's lives, and he was sowing seed into my life. And I didn't know what he was doing. I didn't know this was what was going on, but he was sowing seeds, and this was one of the seeds. It took 10 years later before I actually accepted Christ into my life, because when I did run across Christians, one for instance, I was 17 years old, and I was working, I was living in Greenville, South Carolina, and in Greenville, South Carolina there was this Baptist college that was there, or university. It was called Bob Jones. Anybody ever heard of it?
Yeah.
So I worked right across the street from there. And so I would walk from my house right past Bob Jones into the place that I worked. And this guy stops me on the street and he says, do you know Jesus? And I said, sure, I know about Jesus. And he said, well, do you believe he's the Son of God? I said, sure, because I saw the movie. And he said, do you believe he died for your sins? And I said, well, I think so, yes. You know, I didn't understand what that meant, but I said, yes. And he says, well, get a haircut. Because back then they were teaching that if you didn't have white walls, you had to have like this much above your ear. And if you didn't have that, you were going to hell. So if the hair follicle touched your ear, you were in big trouble. Okay. So it was really bad on us older guys because we had hair coming out our ears. But anyway, so anyway, it was several years later before I gave my life to the Lord because, I mean, I went and got a haircut, but I still get saved. I didn't change. Nothing changed, you know. And so sometimes we can get religious ideas and not really have the gospel. But God still used little seeds. In fact, one of the seeds that got sowed into me is that same place I was working at. There was a gentleman who was a missionary to Brazil, and to the Amazon region. And he would talk to me from time to time. In fact, he invited me over to his house one night and have dinner with his family. And they showed me film of their mission and that sort of thing. Well, that was a seed that got sowed into my heart and into my life. And so, God had just kept on working on me, and finally he got me, you know. I gave my life to the Lord, and shortly, I mean, like I would say that day, I also knew that God was put a call on my life too, and he started giving me the reason why that I'm here on this planet. But anyway, long story short, God uses seeds. He uses small beginnings. Some of the things you're doing with your family right now, you're sowing seeds. And many of them may be seeming like they're rejecting it, but maybe they're not. Maybe it's just that you got to keep watering it with your prayers and then let God send other people into their lives beside you, because most of the time they won't listen to family real clearly. But family still can sow seeds. And most of it's because of your life that you're living too, that they're seeing those things and that seed. Be encouraged today and know that God is on mission to win your loved ones. And if you pray and you keep sowing seeds, God can do amazing things by bringing other people into their lives. That's what happened to me. And so this next video I'm going to show you has something to do with my experiences of being in that pagan family, but still a family that believed in Christmas in the sense of Santa Claus and having all these gifts and stuff, because my mother would spend just weeks and weeks and weeks going to so many stores to try to find gifts for the kids. And so, you know, I really appreciate her heart to do that for us. But she would do that, and of course decorating the place and all that sort of thing. We did that. So this is going to seem a little bit cynical at first in the beginning, but it's comical. But it'll get back to the gospel. So bear with me on this. I'm not a Scrooge. I love spending time with family, and I love this time of year. So. And we know Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, but that doesn't matter. I always love this time of year, with all the fun festivities and warm gatherings of friends and family. But there's another side to the coin we call the Christmas holiday that has always troubled me. It is that side of the holiday rush that I wish to address in my short story I call, So This Is Christmas?
You know, it seems that our preoccupation with the latest techie gadgets, smartphones, smart TVs, and CG graphics has created this vortex of fast-paced, high-tech living and all the modern conveniences at one's lazy fingertips, inducing a type of hypnotic trance with its mantra of spend, spend, spend. In all its stroke of genius, this new world's disorder of the new age still cannot fulfill the chasm-like void that tears at the very heart and soul of our ever-deteriorating society. With the holidays now upon us, one might think there would be some sort of pause, a truce, if you will, in all this chaotic madness. However, as one observes the creatures of this tiny planet, they all too often are seen straining at the simplicity of God's message of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Yet opening wide to swallow with great appetite the call of the wild, heralding the celebration of indulgence, awakening the retail corporate vultures who, with peering, squinting eyes, await their prey as the Xmas scene with all its trappings unfold. We see the department store CEO's expectations soaring high with excitement and visions of big profit margins dancing their heads. The credit card companies with their plastic TV smiles drool at the opportunity for still another big catch this holiday season. The holiday season? Oh yes, the time for family. Well, let's look at those two partners at the head of the family we lovingly call Mom and Dad. We see them struggling through overtime and even double time, leaving no time for God and family. Just so their sweet little darlings, who now transform into greedy, materialistic, extremely impatient creatures, children, who in their lust for more and more, can have a fleeting moment of pleasure for a season, before it all ends up meeting the great need for landfills. Now, what about those moms who, like drivers in a demolition derby, push and shove their carts through the angry, caustic, short-tempered, but festive crowds in the stores and shopping malls, desperately searching for that certain something their little darlings demanded, requested that she get, even if it takes 362 stores in three counties to find? These gallant women of marathon-like determination ought to be on this week in sports, experiencing the joys of victory and the agony of defeat. When they finally have managed to grab away from other blue light desperados by elbow smashing some and pile driving others, all in the spirit of Christmas, they take these wonderful parcels to the mile long checkout lines, cutting through as they wave their credit cards like machetes, finally reaching the cashier whose wrinkled grin of half courtesy and half despair over the sight of still another glassy-eyed, half-crazed mom, as she begins unloading enough items to take care of most of China's population. Before this wife, mother, and queen of bargain bonanzas proceeds to her sleigh, she makes one quick call to her equally exhausted husband, now completing a double shift at work, as she sweetly, subtly, but strongly suggests that he work still another 8 hours to ensure their survival in January. He is delighted. Now, what about those wonderful bundles of joy, who at every passing day on the December calendar build in excitement and anticipation and impatience and nervous energy as they wonder and fret about the abilities of those two workhorses, parents, in securing their demands, requests. The tensions build as the siblings are released from the detention centers, schools, for a two-week appearance on Family Feud. On the night before Christmas and all through the place, there's a sense of exhaustion on each grimacing face. As they gulp down some eggnog before choking on fruitcake, there's a gnawing, empty feeling that makes their heart ache. The children are all sleeping, all snuggled in their beds, as visions of mega presents dance in their heads. In the den, there's a stirring in Dad and Mom. "We've done all we could," they said, "but still something's wrong. We've worked very hard to get what they've been wishing. We have all the presents, the decorations, but still something's missing." Then suddenly there was a sound that came in from the night's chill. It started off softly, but grew louder and louder still. Like the sound of angels, those carolers in the night sang to a world filled with darkness about the entrance of God's light. "Joy to the world," they announced. "The Lord is come. Let earth receive her King." The song filled the house and then filled their hearts, bringing meaning to all the celebration and giving of gifts. Their faces lit up as they began to see. It's not about wrappings and bows and the world's largest tree. It's not about Santa and choo-choos or fresh fallen snow. Not eggnog nor fruitcake, nor even mistletoe. Though we hold these things dear in their own special way, the true meaning must shine on this Christmas day. For not so long ago, one cold starry night, the greatest gift was given to turn darkness into light. For God so loved this world that he gave his only Son, that to whosoever believed in him, salvation would come. This day reminds us how God loves us and forgives us of our sin in his message of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It is my hope that this perspective on the Christmas holiday will both make you smile while promoting the possible decision to just stop for a moment and press the reset button, bringing about a return to that which matters most. Our focus on God's love for us and all humanity, and then our love for Him and one another. May the Lord bless you richly, filling your homes with the warmth of His peace and love this Christmas. Amen. So the Lord gave me that script. He had me write this all out, you know, some years ago, and when I was just pondering, you know, a message, you know, for this time of year, and he gave that to me, and I really believe he did.
because it's touched people's hearts, and it helps folks to just get refocused, because we do get caught up so easily. And so I hope it touched yours and blessed you. But that was primarily what I had to share today. But I have some interesting little. I'm one of those. As you know, I'm a prophecy nut, and so I love Bible prophecy. I love what happens when God gives us a word, and then that word comes to pass. And so there's so many different ones with, I'm gonna give you some did you know, and I think that this crowd, you probably go, oh yeah, we know that. And we've already talked about it, so move on. But I'll do it anyway, just to, by chance you may not have heard this one, but here's one of them, and that is that there's actually over 108 prophecies that prophesied of Jesus in his first coming. Did you know that?
Yep.
Okay, see there? I knew that there would be somebody. Did you know, though, that for just 8 of those to be fulfilled the way that Jesus fulfilled all 108, just to have 8 of those fulfilled, you would the way that you could look at that, I think it's something like it's 10 to the 17th power, and the way you can visualize that is if you take the state of Texas and you get a bunch of quarters, and I mean a lot of quarters, because you're going to dump it to about this deep on the state of Texas, and then you get one quarter, you mark an X on that quarter, you throw it down in the middle of that pile of quarters that you just filled Texas up with, then you get a blind man and you put him in the middle there, and he picks up that exact quarter. That's how possible it is for somebody to fulfill just 8 of the 108. Isn't that amazing? And he fulfilled all 108. So that's just one of those cool little nuggets of, you know, maybe it's useless information, but I think it's pretty cool. another thing that I think is amazing, and again, most of you probably already know this, but for those of you that don't, this is something you and I can enjoy, and that is the night that the shepherds were watching the sheep, you know, and everything, and the angel appeared to the shepherds, and just like Linus quoted there in Luke chapter 2. And they announced that unto you is born this day in the city of David, you know, and all of that. Did you know that those were not just any old sheep? Those were special sheep. And the reason why the angels appeared to those shepherds was because these shepherds weren't just any old shepherds. But these sheep were the sheep that were set apart from all the other sheep for the coming Passover, for the sacrifice. And so at least I got one, huh? That's great.
Ah, yes.
but so these shepherds understood when the angel said, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. They understood because they were the ones that were raising up the sheep that would be sacrificed every year. So this gave them an aha moment, and they began to realize, ooh, this is something very, very special. The Lamb of God is born. And so, wow, you know, that was an amazing, that's one of those amazing little tidbits. And so we could go on and on and on, but, you know, one of these days when we get into the study on the book of Revelation, I'll take some side journeys. I do one side journey on some, what did you know about Methuselah? How many know that Methuselah's name meant something? Okay, so, this one has nothing to do with Christmas, but I'll go ahead and give it to you, meaning I've still got a couple of minutes before I'm going to let you go. So this is going to be an early day. So, but this is kind of cool. Methuselah, his name meant at death destruction comes, okay? So, you know, he was the oldest man that ever lived, right? He lived to be 969 years old, okay? So you might be sitting there thinking, okay, that's cool, alright, thanks, goodbye. But there's more to it. Methuselah was the grandfather of Noah, okay? So, Noah was 600 years old, or I'm sorry, he was 500 years old, when God told Noah to build the ark. And he was 600 years old when he got in the ark and God closed the door, right? Well, Methuselah was 369 years old whenever Noah was born. So if you do the math, Methuselah was 969 years old the day that the flood came. So at his death, the earth opened up, the envelope of water that was above the earth came crashing down, and then the rain started coming. But all of that instant judgment hit the day that Methuselah died. So for nearly 1,000 years, when people were greeting Methuselah, they were saying, hey, at death, destruction comes. So there was nearly a 1,000 year prophecy that was going around that God was warning them, warning them, warning them, warning them, warning them, warning them. And then it happened. So that's just one of those little interesting things that we can dig up and we find out. It's like God is so amazing. He does everything on purpose. There's actually another one where you can take a lot of the different names, you can Adam, Seth, and all the rest of them, and you put them all together, and I'll have to wait on that one, but it's actually a very interesting gospel message that's in their names. And so when I share that with you, you can enjoy it with me. But these are just some neat things that God does. And his word is alive. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll bring you life. And it'll cut away some of the junk that we need to get rid of. You know, that we need free from. Just like Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that, you know, being that we're encompassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside all those hindrances and the weights and the sin that so easily besets us, and run with patient endurance that race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. He endured it for us. And now we just, you know, he died for us. Now let's live for him. Amen. Thank you for allowing me to share this today. I know it was actually a very short one, wasn't it? But Jesus is Lord. And what a wonderful time to share that with everybody you come across in this coming week. People are depressed. You would think they'd be joyful. This is the most depressing time of year for most people. The majority of suicides happen at this time of year. And that shouldn't be. But we can share the good news. So let's do that. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for this opportunity to be here today. Thank you once again, Lord, for allowing me to be used by you to partner and just be the privilege of being able to participate in really the work that you're doing. What an awesome privilege. Thank you, Lord, for sowing into our hearts and making your word come alive in us today. Thank you, Lord, for sending us out as lights that shine in the darkness. Thank you, Lord, for filling us with joy unspeakable and full of glory, that even in the midst of struggle, even in the midst of confusion or despair, we can share joy with those we come in contact with. Oh, Lord, may we truly do this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.